After the twin disasters in Japan, we hear from a Swiss rescue worker. And a Japanese expatriate explains why Japan will overcome its worst crisis since the Second World War. And have explosions at Japanese nuclear plants worried locals living near Swiss reactors? Welcome to a Swiss Info program on the Japanese crisis. Today's March 18th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jessica Dacey in Bern.
Faut-il craindre un deuxième Tchernobyl au Japon?
Une minute de silence en souvenir des victimes.
Japan erlebt die größte Katastrophe seit dem Zweiten Weltkrieg, sagte Ministerpräsident Naoto Kan heute früh.
Thousands dead and hundreds of thousands homeless. Entire towns wiped out and a growing nuclear emergency. Japan's devastating earthquake and resulting tsunami on March 11th sent shockwaves around the globe. Switzerland was among the nations sending help in the aftermath of the twin disasters. A team of 23 workers and 9 rescue dogs landed in Japan 2 days after the tsunami hit. But within 72 hours, chances of finding survivors had become slim. The UN and Japan then decided that teams from some countries would start handing over to the Japanese. SwissInfo spoke to Swiss team leader Ernst Bossard in the northern town of Misawa as he waited to fly home. He felt the team had made a difference, albeit small.
The local people were very glad that we were there. Unfortunately, for various reasons, it was not possible to work as much with the dogs as we had hoped. On the one hand, that was because we kept getting alarms. One day, just as we were getting to the site of operations, there was a tsunami warning. And then towards the end, it snowed very heavily, making it too dangerous for the dogs and people to enter the ruins. Why did we come back so quickly? When safety considerations mean it's no longer possible to work, and there's very little hope of finding survivors, then there's nothing to be gained from having injured dogs or injured handlers or any of the rest of us injured. That doesn't help anyone, neither the local people nor us. At some point you have to say, I can no longer take responsibility for this. We have to leave, with a heavy heart. We practice and train for years to ensure that our dogs are up to it. We come here to help, to locate people, to rescue them. So it's tough when you have to take such a decision. I can't tell you exactly what the mood was like among locals, but I can say that all those who saw us were very polite and very grateful. They showed it through gestures and words that, of course, we couldn't understand, but the gestures showed their gratitude. We spoke to a local who told us that the people are very calm and patient. Almost everywhere in the tsunami area is without either power or water. Of course, hope is the last thing to die. We never give up hope. We always hope for a miracle, but the hope is very small.
Swiss rescuer Ernst Bossard speaking to us this week from the northern Japanese town of Misawa. SwissInfo's Japanese service has been closely following the events as they unfold. Earlier, I spoke to journalist Kuniko Satonobu. Kuniko grew up in the Hiroshima province and as a student campaigned actively against nuclear power plants. She's lived in Switzerland for the past 5 years. Her father and 2 sisters are safe in the southern part of Japan. I asked her how she felt as a Japanese expatriate watching the disaster from so far away.
Well, I have to say I feel really like I've aged 10 years since last Friday, because it is really too much what's happening in Japan. And every morning I get up, I said, oh, well, I just saw the film. It's a fiction. And then I watch the news. It is really reality. It's really touched me very deeply.
And going back to your childhood, your mother actually saw the events that took place in Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. She was born, Mihara is just beside of Hiroshima city. And she said to me, she saw that huge clouds of atomic bomb. And then she told me that her friend died or so, and also that second generation's baby or so and are affected by this radioactivity. So when I was young, I felt much more sensitive to all nuclear things. So I was really against the nuclear plants, you know.
The disaster in Japan has been so huge. How has SwissInfo's Japanese service tried to report on all the different situations?
Our task is not to follow the every situation of the disaster, but to tell to our public Swiss people's thinking, or Swiss politicians' reflection, or Swiss rescue activity in Japan. So we try to do every day, even very short news style, but we try to produce these kind of articles. And doing so, our task, I feel better because I'm doing something, you know, instead of just I am so desperated and I'm doing something, I'm contributing something to Japanese people.
Absolutely. And watching from Switzerland, do you feel that the Japanese government have responded well to the disaster?
Yes, I feel that the Japanese government has really reacted very well, especially at the beginning.
The recovery process will take years. Are you hopeful that Japan can do all it needs to do?
Well, until yesterday, I felt really like all Japan will disappear soon. But now we know that Chernobyl level or Three Mile Island level will happen. So yesterday I imagined that like north of Japan, so you can't live there. So, okay, the half of Japan or 30% of Japan is not useful anymore. But, you know, as the Second World War, Tokyo is completely disastrous and also desert. And Hiroshima and Nagasaki was also the same thing. But we arrive until here. So I think that Japanese people has a capacity. It takes a lot of time, but we can survive, I think.
That was Swiss Info journalist Kuniko Satonobu. Other Japanese expatriates were also feeling their country's pain. The Japanese Club of Geneva has made a donation of 10,000 Swiss francs to rescue efforts. The club president, Miho Habel, told Swiss Info, "This tragedy is a terrible shock to those Japanese living outside their homeland and who are constantly asking themselves how they can help their fellow citizens back home." And among Swiss goodwill gestures, FC Servette football team plan to collect donations at their next game at the Geneva Stadium. And Swiss ski racer Didier Couche announced he was giving away 8,500 francs in prize money to Japan.
I think now that by supporting Japan, it shows that there is not indifference. It's very moving to see all these images on the TV. We see the despair of people who have nothing, just the clothes on their backs.
In the aftermath of the earthquake and tsunami, the world has been keeping a close eye on breakdowns at nuclear reactors in Japan. Explosions and radiation leaks at the Fukushima power plant have renewed debate on the future of nuclear power in the US and Europe. In Switzerland, Energy Minister Doris Leuthard ordered safety at Swiss nuclear power plants to be re-examined. She also put a freeze on requests to build new nuclear stations in Switzerland. Switzerland has 5 nuclear reactors which generate about 40% of the country's energy. They will gradually come off the power grid as of 2019. Although the last major earthquake happened 600 years ago in Switzerland, some observers say Swiss plants aren't quake-proof. One plant in particular, Mühleberg, on the outskirts of Bern, was compared to the stricken Fukushima plant. The two were built in a similar style. Mühleberg village is synonymous with the plant. This week, Swiss Info's Rob Brooks and Gillian Spinden went along to find out if the Japanese nuclear accidents had residents worried. Rob and Gillian joined me in the studio, and I first asked what the village of Mühleberg was really like.
Well, Mühleberg is a rather sleepy kind of place. There are only about 2,600 inhabitants, and basically you can drive through it. There's only one main street, and perhaps only one restaurant there as well, and a church, a post office, and I think one post bus an hour. So it's a fairly quiet kind of place.
And does the nuclear power plant have a big presence there?
Well, obviously, the power plant isn't in the village itself. It's down towards the river. It's fairly well hidden, actually. You really don't know there's a power plant there unless you go down the road leading to it.
You spoke to a lot of locals. How are they reacting to the nuclear explosions and the leaking radiation in Japan? Rob, you spoke to the mayor, Kurt Herren.
Yes, Mr. Herren was very calm and with good reason. That particular power plant has been in operation for almost 40 years. So people asking questions, it's nothing new. What he did say was, he put the question, well, what are so many people coming here to ask us about Japan for? Because you should be putting your focus on Japan, what's happening in Japan. At the time, it was more than 10,000 dead, more than 100,000 people without a roof. So he was right to put the focus there and not on his own village.
And what about you, Gillian?
I think the thing that impressed me the most was the fact that people weren't afraid. And that surprised me because when you think that back in 1969 there was a nuclear accident, there was a reactor that overheated and they had meltdown underground, and that was just like 50 kilometres along the road from Mühleberg. Yeah, I thought that because most of the people I was talking to, they weren't young, they were middle-aged and maybe a little bit older, they must have been old enough to remember this accident. And they didn't care, somehow. And that's what impressed me. They felt so safe. I think they trusted the authorities, they trusted the power plant, and yes, I was expecting a different reaction. I didn't get that. I mean, I spoke to a housewife, and she obviously had a family because I could see them in the background in the garden. She wasn't afraid.
But it's surely making some people think again about whether more nuclear power plants should be built in the future.
Well, as one gentleman said, even if Switzerland doesn't build any new power plants, what about, he mentioned France, Italy and Germany. You're surrounded. If all the countries around Switzerland continue building power plants or continue with nuclear energy, if they did that, it wouldn't make any difference.
And what safety precautions are taken in Mühleberg against a nuclear incident?
I think most people know in Mühleberg that if the sirens go off, they switch on their radios, they listen to what is being said to them, and they follow instructions. There are shelters there. They have iodine tablets.
One of the people you spoke to was an estate agent who's in charge of security in the village. Did he sound confident about the safety of his village?
I think with all the facts at hand, he was rather confident, yes. What he did say and what the mayor told me too was, look, we have to wait to see what the consequences of the accident are in Japan. We have to wait to see what the federal authorities are doing in Switzerland, analysing the situation, seeing if there are any comparisons with Switzerland that can be taken or drawn from Japan, and then, if necessary, taking action.
That was Swissinfo's Rob Brooks and Gillian Spinden speaking to me earlier. Well, since the nuclear accidents in Japan, Swiss energy chiefs have also come up with three scenarios for the future of nuclear energy in Switzerland. They are abandoning nuclear power, continuing the status quo, or a compromise. Such a compromise solution is being drawn up and would involve building a replacement plant and investing more in renewable energies. In the meantime, it's clear that the Japanese situation has thrown open lots of questions in Switzerland. Atomic energy will be a key theme in the next legislative period. That wraps up our program for this week. Go to swissinfo.ch to read more about these stories or to download this show as a podcast. We'll leave you with Ryuki Sakamoto's Chinsagu no Hana. Tune in again next week. I'm Jessica Dacey.